This is the Comedy Kiosk, podcast by Monday and Munoz. Please welcome Monday and Munoz.
Hello and welcome to the Comedy Kiosk, a podcast on which we discuss news, ideas, and opinions about comedy. I'm Igor Monday.
And I'm David Munoz. And what's today's topic?
And today's topic, David, is, thanks for asking, we didn't debrief at all before this. We just jumped onto this podcast.
Yep.
David has no idea what's going on.
Nah.
He barely remembers me anymore.
Uh-huh.
He's getting older. He's getting senile.
Yep.
He's like, what's the topic, Igor?
Uh-huh.
Well, the topic is what we mutually agreed is Kodak moments, or basically moments from our stand-up careers, stand-up experience, the shows we've done that we vividly remember and that we'll maybe never forget. And those kind of moments that, you know, are like a screenshot, a snapshot in our mind. Things that happened, maybe some funny things, awkward things, inspirational things, or just, you know, some moments that make you giggle or make you happy or make you embarrassed, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But things that, you know, you just kind of remember and will maybe always remember from some particular shows. Do you have any of those?
Nope.
Nope.
I've seen all, dude. And, nope.
All right. And thanks for listening.
Yeah.
This was a really good one.
I mean, I thank God that I've recorded quite a few shows, because then I can go back and I go, oh, yeah, that bit. But actually it takes a bit, and then I have to kind of really think about it, because they all end up kind of blurring together. But there are, yes, there are some that when I actually go, hang on, I go, oh, like my first show, my first ever show, that one definitely, like, yeah, that sticks into my head.
And for example, and we talked about like kind of our early steps or like first steps in comedy way back when, like one of our first episodes, and I remember your story, and our listeners can go back to that and listen to how you started like randomly doing comedy, like on an invitation or whatever, doing like 30 minutes. And my kind of entrance into stand-up was a bit more traditional. Like I came to an open mic, I did like 6-7 minutes that I was given, but it is kind of a memorable moment and I still remember it, but it's not even maybe in my top 5, top 10, because I remember it as a thing that happened, because I know it happened. But I don't really remember it as kind of, if someone asks me, dude, what's the weirdest thing or the funniest thing or something that ever happened in stand-up, that I'll say, oh yeah, my first open mic.
Yeah.
It just feels to me, it just kind of, it just happened.
Well, yeah.
It did.
The thing was, for me, it was a big event, because a bunch of just crazy shit, not crazy, but like just little memorable bits. Because like if I were to take, because we're calling it Kodak moments. So photo number one is me spilling red wine on my own shirt just before the fucking show, right? Me spilling red wine. Next shot is me in a bathroom with my shirt off, just in my pants, like washing my shirt, because realizing that it was easier than washing it out was to just make the whole shirt pink or red. So basically wetting my shirt to the point, and the next, so the photo would actually be me drying this wet wine-stained shirt that's now, I've tried to spread the wine under the hand dryer. So that's shot number two. Next shot is me watching the lingerie dancers dancing to Do You Think Your Girlfriend Is Hot Like Me by the Pussycat Dolls in underwear, like in little corsets and suspenders and stuff, dancing, like dry humping a chair, each one of them, a whole group of them. So me off to the side, still finishing my wine with my piece of paper, watching this
now,
going,
Now I see why this was so memorable to you.
Yeah, and me going, fuck, how do I follow that? Then going on stage, looking around, looking at the paper, about to start, having to look at my paper again, realizing that no matter how much I looked at it, it just was blur. So the next shot is me just ripping up that piece of paper in front of the crowd and saying, fuck it, which got a huge applause. And then it's, I look to my left and I see my friends sitting down. So there's Juliana and her boyfriend at the time and a couple of others all sitting down on the floor. So they're to my left. Behind them, snapshot, is this girl with red hair in a white dress. She's the one that's laughing at all my jokes. Every single punchline, she gets it. She's laughing. She's my savior. She's my angel, literally in a white dress. So I'm just like, thank God for her. And on my right is emo boy, snapshot of him with the Hitler haircut, you know, over the eye, one eye slightly covered. But he's like this Pacific Islander guy. So he's built like a brick shit house, but he doesn't do enough leg day, or he's wearing skinny jeans, which he was. It was so skinny. So it was like a muscular potato with toothpicks sticking out the bottom. And that guy's just glaring at me like I am dying. So every time I look left and right, it's like Left, I'm brilliant. I'm a hit. I'm Dave Chappelle. I'm the next Dave Chappelle. Like, you know, I'm killing it from day one. I look to my right and I suck. You know, I'm Eagle Monday. It's just horrible.
Boy.
So, you know.
Disrespect.
Couldn't help it. So anyway, but that was my first show. And that's why it sticks, because those camera codec moments. And then later on talking to the girl and her going, oh my God, you're amazing. Now, you know, the first thing, like, you have your friends tell you you're great. And that was great. And also the Juliana's boyfriend at the time was this military guy, and he'd been in actual conflicts, and he all of a sudden he starts saying, like, oh man, you're so brave. You're braver than me. And I'm like, you've been in conflict, dude. You've had people shooting at you with 50 caliber bullets, because he told us stories at some other dinner parties. It was like, Jesus Christ, man, like, what? But yeah, so that was why it was memorable, because it was that. No,
but both of you were like proper soldiers, because, you know, he killed and you bombed, so.
Yeah. Well, at least I was bombing on my right. I was killing it on my left and I was bombing on my right. It was the weirdest experience. So that's what made it memorable, because it was just like, what the? And so for a first time, that really stuck with me for ages. Like, I think that's why the bug never quite left me, because it was just this weird mix of emotions, and it was almost like sadomasochistic, you know. It was bizarre. It was kind of kinky, kind of fun. There was lingerie, there was someone hating on me and loving me, and it was just
the more I know David
yeah,
I did not expect this to turn into and the David's fetishes are but here we are.
Yeah. I'm just discovering it for myself. Yeah, a lot of stuff makes sense.
Okay, so we are on the road of self-discovery, the memory lane of self-discovery.
Yeah.
All right. So one of mine was, if you remember, one of the first venues we did was this kind of rowdy bar where there would be maybe three or four rows of chairs where people are actually sitting down and you can see them. And then in the back, there would be like 40 other people standing near the bar.
Yep.
Kind of making noise, chatting, not always there for the show. Sometimes yes, but sometimes no. And, you know, the people that were sitting down and kind of watching, you could even manage them. But those, like, assholes in the dark,
yeah,
that was absolutely, like, unmanageable. And you would get often some heckles or interruptions or anything. And I remember at one point I decided to take up a stage name, because if people don't know this, Igor Monday is not my real name, surprisingly. So it is a stage name. And how I came up with that stage name was, I was kind of workshopping some names, and I was asking some friends and other comedians, you know, what would work, would this work, would that work? And I couldn't really settle on anything. So I settled on the first name, which is Igor. I couldn't pick the last name, kind of a surname that would be something that everyone can remember and write and pronounce, but that is also sounds a bit like showbiz and, you know, like catchy, mm-hmm, and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I remember I said, okay, so what I'll do is I'll ask the audience, because I was hosting almost all the shows at that point. And I was like, okay, as part of kind of crowd work and, you know, banter, I'll ask the audience, maybe they have some good ideas.
Yeah.
And I remember I came on stage and I was like, so guys, I'm workshopping a stage name. I think it's going to help my, you know, like exposure and whatever. Do you guys have any? And I have this on video somewhere, this show as well. So I was like, hey, so do you have any ideas? What could be my stage name? For some reason, someone said Antonio and nothing else, just Antonio.
So like, your name would have been Igor Antonio?
No, it was just Antonio. That was a suggestion. They didn't even suggest like a surname, just, and I'm like, I'm not a, you know, Brazilian footballer. I can't be just Antonio without anything else. You know, it's so weird. And someone said something else, like something random. And I was like, okay, guys, you don't get it. I have my first name. It's Igor. I just want a last name. What could be like Igor? Igor? And then from that dark part of the room where people would be like always, you know, kind of shouting random things and whatever, I just hear Monday.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, oh, Igor Monday. That's, you know, everyone knows Monday. It's a kind of common word, but I can change the spelling a bit or whatever.
Yeah, you then fucked up the spelling. So not that easy, apparently, for you.
Yeah, no, that was intentional, because the joke was on kind of how Sunday ice cream is spelled, not how the Sunday word is spelled.
Yeah.
So that was the same kind of logic behind that. And then I was like, Igor Monday, yeah, that's great. Round of applause for that amazing suggestion. And then I asked, by the way, why Monday? And the same voice goes, because everybody hates Mondays.
Ooh.
And And I was like, okay, that's it. It's kind of, that's set in stone now. It's my name.
Because if you're going with Igor Sunday, then you would have been like, because you're delicious like a Sunday. But you're like, no, sucking is better.
Yeah, because I wanted to, you know, like, okay, you want to do it like that? Let's do it like that.
Well, it's self-deprecating. So, it kind of fits into the whole, unless you're going for the I'm a Lothario, you know, yummy person. I don't know. Fuck. But, you know, you're that kind of type. But it doesn't really, that kind of thing doesn't really work that well in comedy anyway.
Plus, but I don't think any other, like, there is Wednesday, the character, like the Adam's Family character. There is Friday from Robinson Crusoe, his little friend that he meets on the island. So, like, you know, names of the week have been names in fiction and, you know, kind of made up names already. So I thought, like, okay, I cannot use one of those. Tuesday, Thursday, I don't know, Saturday, Sunday, I don't know, just Monday just seemed like the most pronounceable one. But yeah, and that kind of, I still... And if we say like Kodak moment, I still have like a mental picture of that moment. Like I'm on stage. Exactly. I can imagine that room, those walls, that carpet, everything in that kind of conversation. It's very, it really kind of stuck with me. Another one was, I don't know if you were there. So I'll share one of mine, and then you can share another one of yours if you have another memorable one. Mm-hmm. But another moment was, I'm not sure you were there. I don't think you were, but I don't know why. Because I think you were around at that point. You just maybe were not at that show. But basically, what we used to do is one Saturday a month, we would bring like a foreign headliner, like a headliner from a different country to come in and to do a solo show. And that Saturday, we were supposed to have a comedian, American comedian that lives in Georgia. And he just moved there from Qatar, I believe. And he was doing like a lot of really high profile shows there. And we were like, okay, we have to get this guy in. So he was doing Saturday. And what we used to do before Saturday was have like a lineup show on Friday, like 5, 6, 7 comedians, whatever, and give the headlining spot to that guest so they can see the crowd a bit, you know, feel what kind of vibe it is, what kind of jokes would fly, which not, and so on. So
and also you gave them like a 10-minute highlight reel they could show the crowd for the next
and
day.
To kind of attract more people to their solo show next day and all of that. But we had the proper show, like the solo show in a different venue, in like a very fancy and nice venue. But this Friday show was in like a dive bar that I'll never forget another memorable moment when I invited one, I wouldn't say friend, but like a friend of a friend, like an acquaintance, to come to one of our shows to this venue. And he came quite early because he was finishing work at, let's say, 5. The show was at 9, but he finished work at 5 and he went straight there and he messaged me like, it's the place called this. Am I in the right spot? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Where are you? And he says, this place smells like my grandfather's coffin. And I'm like, yeah, you're in the right place.
Classy. I thought you said this place was classy and upmarket. And
no, the classy one was the Saturday venue where the solo show was happening.
This is the shitty Friday one.
This was the Friday venue, right? So anyways, so the show starts. I'm hosting it. The guy is supposed to headline. I come on stage and the place was like a basement of a basement. So you go that one floor down and then you go lower. And above that was a bar and above that was a hostel.
Right.
And apparently someone in the hostel broke the radiator. Right. And some pipes, whatever. So we started the show. We have no idea about that. We started the show. I'm hosting first like 10, 15 minutes. One of the best shows we've done in months, if not years up until then.
Yeah.
Electric audience, like jokes, destroying the room, huge laughter, everything is going great. And this guest comedian is kind of like, oh my God, I'm going to kill and they're all going to come tomorrow to the show. It's going to be great. So I'm kind of about to introduce the first comedian on stage and we hear kind of some crackling coming from kind of the pipes and we turn around and we see one of the pipes starts dripping, just dripping water. And we're like, okay, a pipe burst, but it's just dripping water. During the time that one of the co-organizers at that point went to the bar to get a bucket, dripping became like a flow of water, like a strip of water kind of coming down. So we were like, okay, hurry up with the bucket, hurry up with the bucket. By the time the bucket came, the pipe completely burst. And now it was like a waterfall.
Yeah.
So in maybe 2 minutes, the whole bar was up to your knees filled with water.
Yeah.
But because it's a basement of a basement, if we don't evacuate, we're going to drown, right? So suddenly people are grabbing their drinks, grabbing their bags. It was end
priorities,
of
priorities, first thing, drinks. Let's grab that.
Yeah, drinks, then like bags, jackets. It was still kind of cold outside, but not
last one, grandma,
freezing.
Come on, old girl. Come on,
so,
don't drown.
So we had to, exactly. So we had to like get everyone out, get all the stuff as well, like the mics, equipment, everything. Mm. And once we went upstairs, it was maybe like plus 12, 13 degrees outside. And there was still like a area where there used to be a summer terrace. An empty area because the chairs were all folded and everything. And we go upstairs and still majority of those people, like there, it was maybe a 50 people venue. And let's say 30, 35 people are still upstairs.
Yeah.
They're chatting, they're finishing their drinks and stuff. And we go, guys, do you want to finish the show? And people go, sure, why not?
Mm.
And they just gather on that little terrace. We get like two comedians with their flashlights on their phone from each side to act as like a spotlight.
Yeah.
We give the mic unplugged, but just something to hold microphone to the comedian. And the next like three comedians and that headliner go one by one on this kind of impromptu stage. People are standing there drinking. We are outdoors. It's like 10 degrees outside. Yeah. And it was, again, one of the best shows we've done.
Yeah.
Like people were really appreciating that. They were laughing so hard and it was so much fun. And
just well, it's a shared experience too. It's a shared experience. Like I think it makes it even more palpable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if Titanic happens and then you all gather somewhere and, you know, have a little, you know,
chuckle.
It's why people, it's why people do this wakes after, you know, funerals and whatever to, you know, kind of release some tension and we went through something together, let's chat and socialize and laugh a bit, right? So it was kind of that mentality, but it worked really well and the guy did really well, the headliner, and it was a very memorable show.
Okay, so if we're gonna go with my next memory, well, it's like little snippets, like we're saying, Kodak moments. So I remember one when we did a show in a big kind of like theater. I think it was the first theater show that we did. And I just remember backstage. I don't remember the show, like doing it itself. Like I vaguely remember it, but I just remember being backstage. A lot of times I actually remember the backstage part and just us goofing around and then like, you know, psyching each other up and psyching ourselves up and doing stuff. And I remember being in this like little walkway that was behind the actual stage. And then every so often the host coming back and telling us to shut up, like, you know, guys, keep it down. And we're like, yeah. Like little school kids giggling.
Wasn't that me? I think that was me, right?
Possibly. And so, you know, we're kind of like trying to be quiet, but we're also rehearsing. And then walking away from everyone and like, you know, with your piece of paper, you're just revised. So I've got a mental image of that. The actual show itself, I vaguely remember. It was fun. It was, quite a few people in the crowd. It was I think it was the first stage, but I just remember being the backstage part and the smell of the backstage or whatever. So I remember that. And then at one point, like stepping outside to have a cigarette with someone and, you know, then waiting inside and all of us like having, I remember Arun being there, yourself, I think, Gleb, I think was there at the time. So we're all doing that. So I remember that sort of thing. The other one though, actual show I remember also was, well, the shows that we did when we traveled, so one that I did on my own, the Irkutsk show, when I did the Trans-Siberian. So that was like my first solo show that I've ever done, where I had the whole set to myself. I had two support acts, which was great. And performing and seeing people sitting on the ledge. Like they didn't have enough chairs. People literally were sitting on the ledges in the windows. And it was one of those deep ledges where they had pillows and stuff, like cushions. Yeah. But just to see people sitting on ledges, all the ledges were filled just to be able to watch you, was like, wow, you guys really crammed in here just to see me. Like, this is amazing, you know? So that was a very memorable moment for me because it was, like just by myself. So that was really cool. And I remember our first show, and I think it was, what was it, Roseanne? Was that the first one that we did? The first, because now we did Voronezh and we've done Roseanne, but I think Roseanne was the first one we started doing.
We did it first,
And I remember the first underground show in Razan, where we were in that underground and there was a brick wall. And
that,
I remember,
that said stand-up?
Huh?
It said stand-up on it.
Yeah, but I remember seeing like people came and I noticed all the girls were really dressed up and so were the guys. Like the guys were wearing nice jeans, nice jacket, but the girls were like in cocktail dresses and stuff. And we were like, what the hell? Like they've dressed up to the nines? Like this is like, this is Bolshoi Theatre sort of look. Like you're going to the theatre look. Like they were really like so excited and so happy. And then we did ages of photos afterwards and we stayed on stage and people lined up. There was a huge line just to have photos with us. And then from both of those shows, so in the Irkutsk show recently, I was doing one of the last shows I did in Russia before I left. This guy was there and he was one of the comedians and I was talking. I can't remember if I was performing actually. Maybe I'd just gone there for support. Anyway, I was there and the guy goes, "Oh, I'm here because of you," sort of thing. He makes just that remark. I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "I was one of your opening acts in Irkutsk." And he was the guy that actually knew English the least. He'd used Google Translate and he was just trying to like verbatim, like memorize it. And he was now doing it properly in English, but he'd gone to Moscow because I'd mentioned like, hey, there's an English comedy scene in Moscow. So eventually, once he got his English up to a certain level, like he started taking English lessons after that apparently. And then he moved to Moscow and he was like, okay, so he's going to do his Russian stand-up, but he also wanted to do it in English because that was his next aim. So he was doing that. And I remember from that first Rizan show, later on when we started doing Spanish.
So you ruined someone's life, right?
Yes, totally. No, and then another life that we ruined, and we did this together. So we started doing Spanish.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, I think I know what you're, okay.
So we started doing Spanish stand-up and we started doing shows. And there was a couple of us, like it was Sergio and I and Natalie. Like we started, like Natalia, we started the three of us kind of really the main ones. And then we started bringing in Luis and all these other people. And this girl, Nada, ends up joining us. And Nada actually, you know, speaks Spanish very well, probably better than I do, actually. And she starts doing it. And then I think it was either you or Oleg, someone mentioned like, yeah, she came to our Rizan show. I'm like, wait, what? And there was a photo and it's her. And she was one of those people in that freaking line who had waited to have a photo with us. And I'm like, oh my God. And she was like, yeah, I was one of those. I'm like, holy crap. So that was like, really, that sticks in my head.
The same thing happened with Maria. She came to our show in Rizan.
That was then, Voronezh. Was it Rizan or Voronezh? It was Rizan.
It was Rizan, yeah. And then
I was talking with her outside.
She was like, oh, nothing ever happens here in English or whatever.
Yep.
So I was like so happy to come. And then she started doing the shows and now she's in London, like and producing some shows.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, and that's, it's always good to remember the kind of at least secondhand impact you can make with, you know, just promoting something, doing something.
Impact, trauma, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. But I always remember those, like, the first something, of course, like that first big show, like 400 something, 470 people that we did in like a big kind of fancy theater place. But also, I don't remember that much the me on stage or anything. I remember the backstage, like the banter, the nerves, the kind of each, we were support, like we were trying to, you know, encourage one another while we were just, you know, I was on the verge of just kind of losing my mind, but I'm like, dude, you'll be great. It's just, but up till then we were doing like 40 people rooms and open mics and stuff. And then we said, 500 people theater, let's go.
Yeah.
And people came and bought tickets and it was like people dressed up and we wore tuxedos and stuff. And it was like a big fancy gala. But yeah, and the same as for like first time we went on tour and we came here to Croatia, we came to Zagreb. I think it was our first destination right off the bat. And we did the old Studio Smieha, which used to be a venue here, which was like an old cinema where they pull out the chairs and everything and put like the little kind of tables and seats around and everything.
Yeah.
It was so impressive because it was this big stage, like a big kind of theater cinema stage and a lot of like little tables and seats. I think it was like 180 people or something, even on the balcony upstairs, like the whole kind of theater experience.
Yeah.
And we're just coming here like the first time ever we're doing shows outside of our little comfort zone and our little kind of basement club, whatever. And now it's like 160 people in a foreign country and they paid tickets and it was sold out in like 2 days or something. And I mostly remember that, you know, the feeling, not the show itself, not the jokes or anything, but just the moment, right?
Yeah.
That kind of feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I got, and like you said, I think it is, mainly a lot of firsts. Like the first comedy festival I did was the, and probably the only one I've actually done is the St. Petersburg one. And just being, I remember being on this makeshift stage in this little bar, restaurant-y place, like a cafe. It felt like a cafe, but we were there and I was on stage and I remember halfway through one of my jokes, one of the servers just dropped all these knives and forks on the floor sort of thing in the middle of my set. And I was doing, I don't know, I think Gary Potter or something. And so this massive clattering and I was just like, yep, there we go. And so I was just riffing on it a little bit and people had a good laugh and continue on. So I remember that. And I remember then us sitting at another place and there was some comedian doing it in Russian behind us. So I didn't understand what was going on, but we were having lunch and we were just listening and watching the people's reactions. And it was cool, like this whole street just up and down, you could walk and you could hear people doing stand-up. And then us ending up at a rib place and we had ribs. And then Danton, remember with Danton, we then went up to this exclusive, apparently exclusive. It was like someone's apartment that was actually a nightclub, apparently. And we were on the balcony at one point.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. That wasn't. That was the after party for the festival, for the participants of the festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's the first, like, kind of international festival I attended.
Same.
I mean, it was international mostly because of us, not because anyone was coming from abroad.
Yeah, that's true.
But still, that's, and you know, in the scale of kind of Melbourne or Edinburgh, where the whole city becomes a festival, here it was like one street for 3 days. But still, like one whole street and every bar is a venue and you go down that street. And once we met up, we went first for drinks and lunch. And then the people at the bar bought the drinks because we were foreigners. I remember they were like, oh, foreigners, drink with us. So we already got tipsy. Then we went to do our shows. I was doing my solo and you guys were doing like a feature show all together. Yep. Then we went for ribs. Then we went to that after party. And then we went to some Latino place, if you remember as well.
Yes.
And we stayed up to like, I don't know, 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I one thing I remember about that day is that I did like 37,000 steps. Which is like something insane, something like 30,000 kilometers or whatever. Yeah. Like, not 30,000 kilometers, 30 kilometers.
Yeah.
30,000 kilometers would be twice around the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it's just insane, like the amount of just the steps.
We didn't stop. We just kept moving and going one thing to another. We're having such a ball. And remember, there was Karen with us. She was from Guatemala. And at that point,
like, she still is,
Yeah, and she still is. She's there. And she's really into stand-up now. Like, I think she watched our shows and stuff like that. Like, she'd seen some stuff. She hung out with us. She's a friend of a friend of mine and my wife. And so, well, she's the niece. And so she came and joined us. And then, now she's doing stand-up in Guatemala. She's doing great. Like, you know, she's constantly posting. She's doing big shows and everything. And it's like, wow, cool. So, you know, the comedy bug bit her as well. Sorry, another victim, another trauma. Damn.
And then,
That's bad.
Like, and we talked about it in the recent episode as well, in the previous one, about the pandemic times and how we did like online shows and Zoom shows and everything. And I remember how, you know, initially it was scary but exciting. Like, I'm building this kind of little stage at home. I put my curtains in the back because I had these like big curtains on my windows, and that was my kind of backdrop, like the curtains. And then I plugged in the microphone into my mixer and connected it all for like good sound. And then we join on like Zoom, and you don't know, it's going to be like 3 people or 30 or 50 or whatever we had.
Yeah.
And comedians from all around the world. And comedians, that's another funny thing, like comedians that I met then on Zoom shows, like 2 or something years later, I would go to like Paris or somewhere and meet in person and perform together and like have a drink and be like, oh, remember when we did the Zoom shows and stuff, which was, I do remember, you know, it's kind of, that was very memorable because it was so out of, and you can't hear the laughter or anything because we had to, every time on Zoom, because when someone is talking, if another person is making noise, they kind of interrupt, it cuts off the sound. So we always had to ask people, to mute their mics. So you're basically like, you do a punchline, then you're just silent and you're trying to see, is any of those little pictures laughing? So it's so weird. And now, like, when you talk about it, it sounds so surreal.
Yeah.
But for like 3-4 months, that's how we ran shows.
Oh, and, I remember like same thing with the backdrop. Like, I remember Elena and I put like curtains up and she made a stencil on like this place of plastic. And so she drew the Steal the Show logo. So it was always there, and we pinned it up. And then there was like the link to my YouTube channel underneath it as well. And it was just, it was so, it was so interesting. And I remember that as well. And another thing that I remember, and I think you remember as well, is the beautiful big chicken that I was eating that time with potatoes.
Yes.
And you were trying to perform while I was just like eating this absolutely delicious succulent chicken with bulgur stuffing and stuff in it. And
I'm not even sure you were doing that show. You were just there to show off the chicken.
Yeah.
Because during lockdown because, you know, I was a single man living alone at that point. So I didn't really cook much. I would like kind of eat out or whatever. But then lockdown happened and I was stuck at home a lot. So I would kind of put something together here and there, but not every day. And I think a lot of people felt the same. And then you show up and you kind of, you put the plate in front of the camera. And like, you know, that was the first, you know, the big close-up was the plate full of delicious looking chicken and some like rice or whatever it was.
Yeah. It was bulgur. It was stuffed with bulgur, this kind of a grain. And
Oh, and I remember
potatoes. You know,
like, In the different chat, like not the Zoom chat, but like a different comedians chat or something, people are like, David, you motherfucker with your tasty chicken. And it was just like smoking. You could see that. It was beautiful. That's my Kodak moment. You're a chicken.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't even the same. Was anyone good? Who the fuck cares? It was a great chicken though. Whoa.
Great.
Beautiful. Great. Yeah. So yeah, that's a, there's some Kodak moments there for sure. Absolutely. I would say like a recent Kodak moment for me. Another one is, and I think it's also like, I really use those firsts because everything else starts to blend in. But I remember, like snippets of us performing when we had our own room, you know, when we steal the show, had their own room. And it was like, I remember Elena and I and everyone, like we're all helping out, we're painting the walls, we did the stencils and stuff. And then my wife did the stencils and then we just helped put them up. And and then like, you know, getting everything prepared and then doing those first shows and things and doing the Spanish stand-up down there, it all blends together, but it was such a cool time, like, because we had our own freaking venue. We could do whatever the hell we wanted. It was just like, right, what shows, what this, and we didn't have to worry about, a band's going to come on at 11 o'clock, so you need to get the fuck off stage. Yeah, none of that shit. So it was just like, thank you very much. Like, we can do what we want. If we go a little bit over, who cares? Like, you know, we could time it out however we like. So that was really, really enjoyed like that. A lot of little Kodak moments from that. Little ones here, there, just sitting at the back, listening, watching, saying thank you to people as they're leaving, doing the bucket thing, the awkwardness of putting a bucket in front of someone's face and watching them squirm and you kind of going, yeah, I know. Just put the money in, you goddammit. Give us a donation, goddammit. I don't have Wi-Fi. I can't transfer. I don't have any cash. Yeah, sure, whatever, buddy. So anyway.
Connect here.
Yeah. So all that sort of stuff, that there's a lot of little Kodak moments in there, like snippets, not from one particular show, but just in general.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of like shows or a lot of like these tours and stuff, especially or the festivals I've done, I don't like the show. Yes, it was there. It happened. Mm. But, you know, the backstage stuff, the community stuff, you know, like traveling with from this like tours that I've done, like a few European tours with some guys, you know, the stories I could tell you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of the stories that we've told to each other like a bunch of times. And, you know, I'm not sure that those guys would even want those things to go on air and stuff. But, you know, it's just because every day our rhythm was because on a particular tour, we could do like, let's say, 7 or 8 shows. Mm-hmm. In 10 days. So basically you land, you check into like a hostel or whatever, do a show, you go to sleep, you wake up, you travel to a different location. Yeah. You go do a show, you sleep, and so on. But we wouldn't go to sleep after the show. We would go have some drinks.
Because we're idiots.
Yeah, I mean, because you're 26, 27, whatever we were, you're in the city for the first time. There are people who love the show and want to go for a drink with you afterwards. You're not gonna say, yeah, I have an early bus. No, you're going to go and drink until you kind of remember that you're traveling tomorrow and then you're going to die in the bus. And then, I mean, I can tell you this story. I don't care. I might just call him a guy and let's leave it at that. But one of the tours we did, it was 5 of us doing like a Central and Eastern European kind of tour. So we did basically, 2 cities in Poland. We did 2 cities in Czech Republic. We did Vienna. We did Bratislava, we did, I don't remember exactly, like, but we did like multiple cities in Europe. And basically we left Prague, I guess, and we were going to Bratislava.
Right.
And it's like a 6-hour bus or something. And one of the guys, like he wasn't feeling very well from the first day. And this was like maybe 3rd or 4th day of the tour, but kind of like, oh, I have a headache, or oh, I think I have a slight temperature or whatever. And we were like, okay, just have some Theraflu or something, you'll be fine. It was spring, it wasn't like winter or some flu season or something. So we're in this bus, it's like a 6-hour bus between Prague and Bratislava, and we're like 3 hours in.
Ooh,
and I go to him
bus
to
toilet.
Like, yeah, the bus would stop occasionally for like the toilets or whatever. But I go to him and I just want to ask him, you know, for like earphones or something. I don't remember. And I come to him and the guy is fucking yellow. Like he's yellow like a Simpson.
No.
Like he's absolutely yellow. And I'm like, dude, what? And he's like, what? And I'm like, you're yellow. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, your skin is yellow. And he was like, what the hell? And he takes out like a mirror or a selfie or whatever. And shit, he looks like Bart Simpson, right? So, and we start like panicking, what the fuck is going on? He starts Googling doctors in Bratislava. The bus reaches Bratislava. We have a show in like 3 hours or whatever. And he's like, guys, I'm going to see a doctor. I don't know what the hell is going on. So he goes to the doctor. We go to the venue. We prepare for the show. And we're like, okay, it's going to be a four-man show. He's not making it, right? So he was supposed to host. I step in. I host and so on. And he shows up like 10 minutes before the start of the show and kind of shows me like kind of thumbs up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good to go. And I'm like, okay. And our headliner is Guy, whatever. And he goes on stage. He kills. He does really well. And after this, we were like, did you see a doctor or whatever? He's like, yeah, I went to the doctor. They took my blood. They did some tests and so on. And it was apparently some sort of jaundice or something. Like he picked up some like infection, whatever. And then they pumped him with like antibiotics or anti-inflammatory something. Basically, next morning, he was fine. But like, imagine we're on tour. It's like second or third day out of like eight. And you walk up to a person and they're absolutely yellow in like a foreign. That was so weird. And we're like doing a show because we bought tickets and stuff. But we're also thinking, is our friend like somewhere in a Slovakian hospital? You know, like, is he going to die? What's going to, like, are we leaving tonight? Or, you know, what's going on? And then the guy shows up and kills the headliner spot.
Nice.
So that was.
That's a cool memory. Yeah. Okay. So. Not to go to particular shows, but like little moments. I remember, do you remember your first heckler? I remember my first heckler, like proper heckling. It was one of the first times I was hosting. And so, you know, I was new to hosting. I wasn't that great at it.
Oh, but, I know.
Yeah.
This one. I have it on video.
Oh, cool.
I have that exact video. I can upload it as the attachment to this episode. I'm kidding. I won't.
No. I mean, if it's how I remember it, yes. If it's not, then no. but the thing
Let's hear how you remember it and then we'll see.
Well, I just remember that there was this girl. She was, she was getting more and more, she was drinking more and more throughout the show. Right. So I'm hosting and she's drinking more. In the beginning, she's just kind of, you know, the playful heckle with the occasional comments, but she starts getting more and more overbearing and she starts getting a little bit more insulty. So she's going like just being unreasonable. And at this point, comedians are coming off and looking at me going, dude, she's killing the show. Like she's ruining. And I'm trying to deal with her, but I don't know quite what to say or do other than, can you please not do that? You know? And it's like, thank you very much for your comment. Let's go to someone else and try to talk to someone else. And then she interrupts. It's like, I'm not talking to you, blah, blah. And then just as I think it was before the last comedian is supposed to get on stage. And at this point, I'm just like, look, we're just going to have to deal with this idiot and, you know, stuff it. And then I start saying something. She goes, oh, I'm rolling my eyes or some remark like that. And I'm like, wait, what? She goes, I'm rolling my eyes. And what she was trying to obviously imply was that she was bored and that, you know, just like, oh my God, whatever. And she was like, oh, I'm rolling my eyes. And I just looked over and I went something like, without even thinking, I just went, yeah, that's called an orgasm. You've never had one before, but you're welcome. And then I got a huge reaction from the crowd. Everyone started like whooping, like, woohoo, yeah. Because I kind of owned her in that second. Like, it's so it seemed. Like, at least the crowd, they all decided that was an owning. And I was like, whoa. And she shut the fuck up. And it was like, oh my God, finally we'd done this at the beginning of the bloody show, you know. But anyway, so shut her down and then continued with the show. And everyone came up and gave me handshakes and backslaps after the show for having managed this annoying heckler. It was the first heckler. And then later on, she comes and joins us a bit sheepishly where she like, you know, like, oh, sorry about that. You know, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, fair enough. We decided to be magnanimous and let her sit with us, even though we didn't really want to, but we're like, fine, sit there, be nice. And then at one point, I think I went up to get a drink. I turn around and my then girlfriend, future wife, has thrown a drink in her face. Because apparently...
Oh, right. That also happened. I remember that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently she had insulted one of my students from where I work, like who'd come to see the show. There was a group of them. And she basically insulted... And he was one of the sweetest, nicest guy. Ramzan, if I recall. Ramazan was his name. And he was this nice, really quiet, shy kind of guy. And she kind of insinuated that he was hitting on her. And every other woman, every other guy is just looking at her like, we're sitting right here. He's obviously not. Like, he wasn't even talking to, but she was just trying to create. She was just one of those drama creating people. So at that point, my wife had been like, oh, no, that's fine. You know, it's okay. You know, just had a little bit of drink. Whatever. But that was like, no, you do not insult someone and you do not make false accusations. She just threw the drink. And basically the girl was like, what the? And she was like, that's it. And I was like, okay, honey, they got to move. Because I came back seeing this going, what the fuck just happened there? So, yeah, that was a hell of a night. Great times. But yeah, it was just this heckler. It was like the first heckler I've had to deal with. And so I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that show really well. And as I said, I do believe I have footage somewhere as well. And I think like you were very patient with her in the beginning and you kind of tried to ignore it and kind of brush it off. But she became not only annoying, but a bit insulting as well. Yeah. And she was like rude and not only to you, to other comedians. And I think you handled it really well. And then later on, she continued being rude and got drunker and drunker. So, you know, it is what it is.
I think she got kicked out at the end of the day.
Yeah. I believe we do have many more kind of Kodak moments and good memories and, you know, maybe not so good memories that we could share. But I think what we could do is if our listeners like this episode and if they rate our podcast and this episode gets like good hits and everything, then we could probably do Kodak Moments Part 2 and share some of our other memorable or favorite or fond memories. And I will say just one thing for those who know this story and for those who don't. They can look forward to that story maybe in the next, in the part two of Kodak Memories, and that is Blind Stripper. That's all I'm going to say. If Blind Stripper means anything to you...
Wait. So let me get this straight. It's a stripper who is blind, can't see.
Yes.
Okay. I've got maybe my next story could be Child Heckler.
Child Heckler? As a child, like a child that heckled you or someone that heckled a child?
No, a child who was at my show who heckles. A child, a proper child, not like a teenager. I'm talking about a little child show.
Not like a spoiled adult, like the girl we were talking about just a minute ago, but like a proper, a young person.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's keep those two cliffhangers and, you know, kind of buzzwords in people's ears. So blind stripper and child heckler.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get to do part two of this topic and share a bit more of those Kodak moments. For now, thank you for listening. You can follow us on all the social media. Just look for The Comedy Kiosk and like us, subscribe and rate this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. Just be honest. Just be honest and give us 5 stars. That's all we want. And you can share this podcast with some other people if you believe they would enjoy it. Thank you for listening. I've been Igor Monday.
And I've been David Munoz.
Thank you and goodbye.
Ciao.